This is the Higher Ed Tech Podcast, Season 2, Episode 10, Creative Syllabi.
Welcome to today's Higher Ed Tech Podcast. I'm Tim Van Norman, the Instructional Technologist here at Irvine Valley College.
And I'm Brent Warner, professor of ESL here at IVC. We both enjoy integrating technology into the classroom, which is what this show is all about.
Welcome. We're glad you're here with us. So Brent, welcome back.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Happy 2021.
Yes. It's been quite an interesting one already. Just things happening. End of the year was pretty good for me. Well, talk to me. How about you? I haven't been able to talk to you in a while.
Not so good. So Christmas, I got COVID, which was, you know, a thing. luckily it was not too heavy, mild symptoms for the most part. I was knocked out for a couple days, but, you know, nothing hospital worthy. So it's kind of one of those hard things to, like, you know, I don't want to minimize COVID in any way. And at the same time, I was lucky to have fairly mild and, you know, I mean, I was out and I'm still isolating and all of those things, but, you know, I mean, that it's a way to wrap up 2020, I think, like, just, you know, one more kick in the pants before the end of everything. So
well, not only that, isn't that what 2020 was all about, is COVID? Yeah, so, you know.
So I mean, if it's done and we're kind of on our way out, I'm okay with that. And I'm grateful to have not had it too bad, but it also just sucks. And so there you go. But I'm feeling better. You can still maybe hear a little bit in my voice. It might sound a little bit different. I think that's probably going to hang around the kind of lasting remnants for a little bit. But other than that, you know, I'm feeling fairly energetic and all of those things. So I think we can move forward. How about you? How was your break?
My break itself was quiet. We didn't do a whole lot. My son built a computer. He loved that. That took all of one night, but you know, Christmas money and money he had saved up, he bought everything, Amazon, Micro Center and parts that I had and put it together and has a nice gaming computer.
It's for gaming.
Me, I've been walking for the last month, started during my last, quarantine that I had to do. So I started walking at night and I've walked every night since the beginning of December and putting some miles on, and I'm feeling it some nights more than others. You know, I can feel how out of shape I am. And especially where I live, if I walk out in front of my house and go either direction, I'm either going uphill or downhill. So it's
on the way out exactly or the way flatlands.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Well, that's good though. Still, it's good to be getting some motion and some movement. So for the last few weeks, I've been not getting any motion, and so that's I'm looking forward to getting. I do early morning walks usually, but I'm looking forward to get back into those. So.
At least we live in Southern California, don't have to worry about the weather. That's right. Usually.
Absolutely. So we'll take what we can get, take our advantages while we have them, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about creative syllabi. So, Tim, I threw this one at you a little bit quite recently, and so we're going to do our best to kind of talk about this, but we thought, you know, good first of the new semester topic, since this episode will be coming out before our classes start, at least a week and a half before our classes start, I thought it'd be a good topic. And there's a lot of different things happening now. The traditional syllabus of, you know, however many pages of just rules and everything, there's just so many new and different and hopefully better ways that we can do things because we're all online, because we're digital. So we just thought maybe there'd be, you know, some good things to talk about. And maybe if anybody's listening early enough, they can make some adjustments to their syllabus to, you know, to make it a little bit more appealing to their students, a little bit more engaging and useful over the course of the semester.
Absolutely. And along those lines, you know, at first when you mentioned it, I thought, oh, what does that have to do with technology? And then I realized, man, there's all kinds of technology stuff that we can put into this.
Yeah.
And by the way, that can make it more interesting for you and for your students as you do it. So that's we're going to talk about a couple of different ideas, concepts and theories and stuff like that to try to be creative in something that, frankly, the last time I read my own a syllabus for a class, lots of years ago, I can't even remember one word of what I read. Right. So
yeah, they tend
I hope to elevate that a little.
Yeah, so they kind of tend to be just like students. Once they've done one or two, then they're just kind of like, oh, I've seen them all. They're all the same and whatever. But remembering, of course, everyone listening knows, you know, the syllabus is important and it's a contract for the class and all of those things. But we do think that there are some really great ways to connect. And I am not actually the best person to talk to about this. There are some of our teachers on campus, but there's a whole movement of like humanizing the syllabus and making it, you know, more accessible and making it more student friendly. And we're going to try and talk about some of those things. Again, I'm getting there. I'm getting a little bit better, like semester by semester, making tweaks and changes in these things. But some of our teachers are outstanding and they're just really doing these super cool things. And so I'm not as much talking from my own personal experience as things that I've seen other people doing. And I think you've seen quite a few too, as you're working with teachers, who are, you know, putting them online and sharing all of those things as well.
Exactly.
So let's start off with, you know, just the information that you can put into, like what you can do with a digital syllabus that's going to be different than a paper syllabus.
Yeah. One key thing is it's really hard on paper to put links to anything, mm-hmm. but on a digital syllabus, why not?
Yeah.
You know, you've got things that you can add for your classes, like your class. If you're doing a Zoom class every single week, do it as a recurring meeting, put the link in the syllabus. Yes, you can put it other places, but give the students that one place to look, and that one piece of information alone makes it at least a little bit valuable.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you have, like the way that I have it, I have a box at the top of my, syllabus, and it's just, you know, what's the name of your professor? What's the office? And now there's no office, like it's office hours, but I just put in a link to my Zoom meeting there. There's a recurring meeting. So I just put a link right there. And so it's like, hey, if I send this off early, if I send this off a week early before class, then students can know, hey, even if I don't go into Canvas, mm-hmm. I can still see that there's a link right here. And then I link up all sorts of things too, as much as possible. So I do share with my students, like my social media account, you know, like my Twitter. And so if they want to go see me, you know, most of my students are not particularly interested in my Twitter, but you know, it's teaching, it's education related. And so, so some of them click on that and look at it, or, you know, you can link to all sorts of different things. One of the things we were talking about is all the resources that are on campus.
Yes. So everything from the food pantry that you might have to technical support. We have our DSPS office and student services, just those things, providing a link directly to it instead of just saying, go to our website and find it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, if you ever just go to a website and try to find something, you'll understand very quickly how nice it is to have a link directly to that page.
Right.
Yes, it does mean you have to verify that it's still working at least every semester you should look, but that alone can elevate it from a student. I've heard students who have had problems and they couldn't get help from DSPS or something like that, and all of a sudden their teacher is asking me and putting that in their syllabus or in their announcements or something like that. That helps the student who doesn't know about the service to get that service. So it's a great place to put those types of things.
Yeah. And I was thinking, like, one particular you mentioned was the food pantry, right? If you say, hey, here's a quick link to information that's straight from the food pantry, that might be an issue for a student that's kind of like, embarrassing or mm-hmm. they don't feel confident about that. But if you just say, hey, here it is, you can go look at this privately at your own home and click on it. Like, that's a great little small, but could be for some students could be vital, you know, and, yes. and not making them search for it and not making them, you know, like, hey, I have to go onto the IVC site or whatever site, you know, whatever school you're coming from and type in food pantry, but that might be a different phrasing than's available or something like that. So, so you don't have to put all the information, but helping people have quick and easy access to it. That's a great way to support your students quickly and make them feel comfortable, joining in and seeing what you're telling them is available to them.
Well, and technical support, the more you can give them information, quick information, the phone number, and this is the link to go to, makes it so that that do technical support, we get that call before the student gets frustrated.
That's right.
You know, if they can do it in one click and get to us versus going through 12 pages and because they happen to go to the wrong website, it makes them happier to work with us and us happier to work with them.
Yeah, for sure. And we've all heard those stories about like, I had to talk to 20 people before I found the right person. It's like, well, we just sent you right there. So that's great. Another thing that we talked about here is, real standard, real common, but like student expectations and teacher expectations. So we'll cover this one fairly quickly, but of course, you know, what is on the syllabus is not always understood the same way between teachers and students and teachers and teachers and those types of things.
And this part is one that this is one of my things that I have to deal with often. So this is my request of everybody is, you know, be clear and understand that to one teacher doing something is normal and to the other it's cheating.
Right.
Okay. And take, for instance, open book exams. To one teacher, it is absolutely barred. You can never have an open book for any exam. And to another, that's just part of how they expect their students to be taking the exams. So either one is right. I'm not telling you you're wrong. What I want to do, though, is if you can be clear, that makes our lives easier as technical support. When somebody says, hey, I've got a question, I can go to one spot, see it and read it to them and say, this is how your exam's supposed to be taken. This is how the grade is going to be calculated. Anything like that, it's in writing, it's clear, it's concise. Thank you.
Yeah. And kind of sometimes, as teachers, we might leave some of that information off because we think it's, you know, we think it's standard or we think it's clear, but there is no real standard between one teacher and one teacher's classroom and another. And so, we had mentioned this before, a student might look at one and go, I totally resonate with this. This teacher is my guy or my girl, right? And so they get into that and they're like, that's great. And then as soon as they have their next teacher, they kind of go, well, those were the rules, right? Those are the rules of my other class and it's part of the same school, so it must be basically the same, right? And so there is a part in here where you really want to be extra clear about that. Now, we're not going to kind of, you know, beat a dead horse on this one, but I think that all of these points in here should be quite clear. Standard understanding, but also worth reviewing if you're going to be going through your syllabus and, you know, kind of cleaning it up a bit. It's something to think about, like, what information are you assuming that the students already know that might maybe should be in there?
And that could include things like grading policy. What percent is an A versus B versus C, et cetera. Some of the things that we're talking about would include things like late work. Do you accept late work? Do you not accept late work? How late do you accept? And understand that that might change because we're in COVID versus not. Other things like participation. How are you going to handle participation? What is participation? What's acceptable? What's not acceptable? There's a lot of different things going on, and some people want somebody to say something every single class. Some people don't care about it. So making sure that it's clear with your students. And then Brent, you brought up something that I thought was really good with negotiating some of these things with your students. Can you tell me what you're thinking of that way? I'm not familiar with that as much.
Yeah. So sometimes teachers, you know, in the beginning of class say like, hey, what are our rules that we want to agree on together as a class, right? And giving students agency and the choices around what the rules are. So if you're saying, hey, for example, a tardiness policy, right? I mean, in this case, we're talking if we're being synchronous, how late logging in is okay to log in late, right? Those types of things. And then you can talk it over with your class, and you might be surprised at the results and the ways students respond. You would kind of think like every student would say, hey, we want all to be like no tardy policy at all, right? But actually, I've had students that say, you get 0 seconds. If you're not in before class starts, you're tardy. You can get like, I mean, I've had a wide range. And so, you know, but when you talk with the students, even if you kind of end up choosing your own choice as the teacher, at least they feel like they're part of that conversation, and that conversation is something that was real to them. And so it's not just something that was on a piece of paper somewhere. They actually went through that process. So you can kind of deal with different parts of your syllabus that are, you know, what are these rules? What are the things that we're going to be expecting, and talk it through with your students to figure out how that might work.
You mean engaging your students even in the syllabus?
Hey, who knew?
Wow. It's a great idea. So one question that comes up a lot is whether you should include or not include the schedule for your course. Things like when assignments are going to be due, tests and stuff like that. The schedule itself. Now, it's important to have a schedule, but the question is should that be in the syllabus? Brent, I'm going to ask for your thoughts. I'm not saying that you're going to give a definitive answer, but what are your thoughts? Because I see both, and I can see success both ways.
I do not usually include the schedule in my syllabus, like the outline or the plan, the weekly plan or whatever. That might be on either a separate document or with Canvas, you know, all the assignments now go, when you click on the syllabus page in Canvas, all the assignments show up in the bottom of the syllabus, right? And so it just goes down a list there, which is a pretty nice feature. As long as it's accessible, which is, you know, some teachers cut and paste their entire syllabus right into that page in the text at the top. And so it becomes like 8 pages of scrolling before you get to the first assignment. So that can also be problematic too, depending on how you've got it set up.
Right.
So,
well, and that leads us to, what are good ways of handling a syllabus? And I loved one of them you talked about was a Google Doc. Mm-hmm. To give the students a Google Doc, which, by the way, in Canvas, you could do that at the top of the syllabus page. Just have the Google Doc, and then they can preview it and just scroll within that, but still see the schedule underneath it if that's what they want.
Right. That's one of the ways. That's actually what I've done for quite a while. I've just done an embedded Google Doc, and people can scroll through it. And then I also give a link to click out, and they can go open it up on the separate page, and they can make a copy for themselves and all those types of things. Another way you could do it, and now we're going to start getting into the conversation around creativity too, is not necessarily having it in a Google Doc, but you could have Google Slides, right? And every slide could be a segment of your syllabus, right? And so then they could click through it, and we're not talking about like doing a presentation with the minimalism stuff. You could actually have your text and one on every single slide and say like, hey, you're going to read this, and one page is this page and one page is that page, and you just click through, and each of the rules or each of the expectations or whatever they are can be really beautifully laid out on a set of Google Slides, and then people can just click through to whatever is relevant for them. And then you can embed that right at the top too.
Yes. And that could be, allow you to be creative. You can include pictures, clip art if you wanted, or something like that. There's a lot of different things you can do with that, because you're not limited to 3 pages or something of paper.
Well, not only that, Tim, you can embed videos directly into the slideshows as well, right? So you could have a YouTube video that you made, and you could introduce yourself on video in the middle of, like right on the first page of the syllabus, and then you could go through and you could click, you could have little audio parts, you could have animated GIFs, you can, you know, have little arrows pointing to things. You can really, I mean, as far as your creativity in your own head goes, that's where you can go with building this out. So there's a lot of cool things that you could do.
Absolutely. That sounds great. Some other things that I've seen is the difference between a PDF and a Word document. Honestly, I don't really care from my perspective which one you would go with if you would choose a PDF versus a Word, except for if you are using links like we talked about earlier, make sure that they are able to be clicked on in your document. So you can have PDFs that have links in them, but it's really nice to have a link that says college website, click here. And they click on the college website and it takes them directly there rather than www.blah.edu/whatever.
Right.
So it's nice to have those nice short things for students. And again, PDF, you can embed video if you want. You can do a lot of those same things and be creative.
Yeah.
In fact, one thing that I saw lately, very recently, is somebody decided to set theirs up and make it look like a newspaper or some sort of article or something like that.
Like a magazine page or something?
Yeah, and it looked great. It made me want to read it, and I've seen how many of them that I really didn't want to read. and so it had pictures.
In my
free
time, I'm going to read this syllabus, right?
Yeah. It
how often does that happen?
Exactly. Never for me. But it was enough that I saw it like a year ago. And today when we were talking about this, I knew exactly who it was and I was able to show you exactly what I was talking about off the top of my head, because, you know, it impacted me. And trust me, I've seen an awful lot of syllabi since then.
Yeah,
that haven't impacted me.
Yeah. And so if that one you shared, I think that was a PDF one too. And so it's kind of cool, right? You can just drop it right into an email to the students and shoot it off. Pretty quick and easy to access and quick. And I think that's one too. The nice thing was it was only like 3 or 4 pages. And so it was like, okay, right. I can look at this and I can consume this. It's not going to be overwhelming to me as compared to just like, sometimes it's like 12 pages of just block text all the way down. It's like, how many students are really going to read that thing, right? And it could be the same information just presented in different ways, right? So one of the things they did was they said, hey, the class is based on weighted grades. And then all that they did was put in a pie chart, and the pie chart said, 10% for this, 7% for this, 25% for this. And that's so much easier than having it all written out. You will get 10% of your grade based on, you know, completing your quizzes.
Or something.
You know, it's like, yeah. Okay, well, you know, like, is there a way to visualize that information? And they did a great job with that. So, so if you might just spend a little bit of time thinking about how can I present the same information in a more consumable way?
Yes.
A couple other things that you can do, you can tie in emoji. So like, you know, now on all of our computers, we all have access to quick emojis and plugging those things in. Students relate to that, right? Like we all text and type and do all these things with emojis as part of it. So, you know, it could just be fun, but you could also plug in animated GIFs and have those be like, you know, fun memes tied in together, all sorts of different possibilities there. And then Tim, just for a couple minutes, I wanted to talk about this last possible area here, which was PlayPosit, going back to PlayPosit.
Yes. So one of the things that I've seen for years before we even had PlayPosit was somebody would go ahead and record their record them going through the syllabus and how to get into class and stuff like that. And then they would turn to me after what they'd done recording it and said, now, is anybody going to see this? did I just waste my time basically?
Right.
And when we got PlayPosit, somebody almost immediately came up to me and said, hey, can I use this for my syllabus?
And you said,
and I'm like,
if the question is, can yeah. I, the answer is yes.
Yes. So think about this. You go through part of your syllabus and all of a sudden you ask the students, you pause your video and ask the students, what percent of the grade is going to be made up of your final exam?
Right.
They type in an answer and then they move on. Or if they don't know, they can rewind and come back through it. Now, they haven't finished the whole thing. You didn't give them a quiz at the end, and now they have to go back and forth or something like that. A couple seconds after you've said it, maybe it's still on the screen. Ask, what percent is this? That type of thing, number one, you can tell every student exactly how far they got through the video.
Yeah.
But it lets you know that they actually paid attention. And frankly, it's probably easier for them to get through the video.
Yeah, for sure. So one, don't make it 30 minutes long. I'm going to start that off, try and keep it short and what to the key points, but you can absolutely say like, hey, you clearly got through this. And by the way, you could also set up the assignment to say, if they don't finish this assignment, they can't go on to the next assignment in Canvas, right? Right. So you can't open your first reading assignment until you've shown me that you've looked at the syllabus, right? So there's some ways to deal with it in that side, but also PlayPosit has a lot of cool functions inside of it too. Like there is a conversation chat option. So when you talk about something, when we had mentioned earlier, the negotiating with students, if you said, well, hey, we don't have a tardy policy, share in the chat what you think the tardy policy should be. And then they can just write their little ideas inside of there. And then they can look at each other's and respond to each other a little bit. So there's a lot of different ways that you could make a video, an interactive video, based around the syllabus. I know I've seen a lot of teachers do things like, here's a quick quiz for you, a low stakes quiz after you read the syllabus. But I like the idea of doing it in a video more because of what you said, right? Here's the question. Oh, you must have just talked about it 20 seconds before, right? Let me make sure that I definitely understood that. So I think, I hope that there's more people doing this. And actually PlayPosit just did a little webinar that I'd watched on this topic. And so I think you can even go to PlayPosit's website and find like some more ideas on how to do this. Or, if your school doesn't have PlayPosit, you might have Edpuzzle or some other way of interacting with videos too. So there's a lot of different cool things that you can do in terms of getting your students engaged with that content right off the bat.
Absolutely. And it is about engagement. Engaging your students early is always better than trying to do it halfway through the semester.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Remember, let's go back and look at that now. Right. Yeah. So Tim, I think there's a lot of different things that people can think about with their syllabus choices, with how they want to interact with their students. And like I said, I am not the pro on this. And I think that there's a lot of, there's definitely is a lot of information out there. There are great teachers doing awesome things. So, I highly recommend sharing with your colleagues, looking, seeing what other people are doing. Every semester I work with my colleagues and we're teaching the same class and we say, hey, what are you doing on yours? And here's mine. And then other people share theirs. And I'm like, oh, yours is so much better. Let me just cut this whole section and put it into mine because that's way better than the way that I presented the information. And so slowly, over time, I can build one that, fits the needs of my class and also, shows students the best ways to succeed too.
Thank you for listening today. In this episode, we talked about creative syllabi. For more information on this show, please visit our website at thehigheredtechpodcast.com. There you will find our podcasts and links to the information we've covered.
As always, we do want your feedback, so please go to thehigheredtechpodcast.com and let us know your thoughts. If you have ideas for future shows, there is a link on that page where you can give us some of your topic ideas.
For everyone at IVC that is listening, if you need help with technology questions, please contact IVC Technical Support at 949-451-5696 or by emailing ivctech@ivc.edu. If you have questions about technology in your classroom, please contact me, Tim Van Norman, at tvannorman, V-A-N-N-O-R-M-A-N, at ivc.edu.
And if you want to reach out to me about the show, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Brent G. Warner.
I'm Tim Van Norman.
And I'm Brent Warner, and we hope this episode has helped you on the road from possibility to actuality. Happy New Year's, everyone, and we'll see you soon.
Happy New Year.